Welcome to The Weekly. I'm Jeremy.
I'm Chris.
And this week on The Weekly, iconic party for Japanese D&D.
Oh, geez. I can only imagine what this is.
Yeah, there's a big, there's a big push in Japan.
All right.
Yep. Big Watsy push in Japan. Games Workshop loses a second personality and goes strictly only hands.
Okay.
Heavy Gear RPG 4th edition on Kickstarter, and Vagabond TTRPG on Kickstarter as well.
Oh, another
TTRPG. So another role playing game, and this is by one of the one of the creators.
That's what we talk about here.
So. Yeah, right. One of the creators. Yeah, I tried to limit. I'll push some stuff for next week because there's a ton of interesting Kickstarters. But let's start off with this new anime style iconic party. So, there is a 7 month old YouTube channel for Dungeons of the Dragons Japan. Dungeons and Dragons Japan. So Watsy is finally like pushing into marketing 5e at the end of 5e.
No, it's not at the end.
Oh, that's right. It'll go forever.
Don't care. Okay, whatever. Sorry. Continuing on. Yep.
Right.
Yep.
So the localization. So there have already probably since pretty close to the release, maybe like a year or so delay, there have been just strict translations, localized versions of all the core books, the Player's Handbook and everything. But there hasn't been. It's been the Western art, and it's that does limit the appeal, because if you've seen like any Call of Cthulhu stuff, they do have Japanese illustrators do covers, and that has a big effect on people's kind of connection to that game. I noticed just trying to sell art in Japan.
Oh, really? Okay.
There's a niche market and there's a novelty to foreign stuff, but the stuff that people really get attached to and really become obsessed with has a Japanese look here.
It was kind of similarly back when I was playing Magic here after first coming over. I was surprised at the ease of getting English language cards, and that some people, despite not really being able to speak English, and me not being able to speak Japanese, were playing with English only cards, right? Which was great for me, right? So I think there was kind of like a novelty to like, my entire deck is English, right? Kind of the same way it is like, my entire deck is foil.
Right.
And back in the day, a couple, 5-6 years ago, I did see a Japanese version of the 4th edition Player's Handbook. Which might as well have been kind of like, okay, not wasn't the 80s style, but might have been like Record of Lodoss War kind of thing on the front, where I'm like,
right.
Oh, yeah, okay, this is very anime-esque.
And Yeah, so I think as a further part of localization and trying to get people, interested or at least looking at D&D, and there are people in that RPG section at Yellow Submarine all the time, like both genders and all kinds of ages.
Not D&D, though.
Yeah, right, that's true. So this may have somebody pick up a box set that maybe they wouldn't have. Okay. So yeah, so now there's an official YouTube channel, not much on it, just like the TV commercial and some little events. And the characters though for this starter set, which is going to be a kind of re-release of the D&D Essentials that already exists here, but they're going to do a kind of a reskinned Essentials with these new characters. The iconic party consists of Cal Skiprock, a Lightfoot halfling rogue. LaFail, a hateful half elf cleric, Atria Dawnguard, a human fighter, Old Scar, a high elf wizard, and a dragonborn fighter, Turlish. And this is like the kind of standard party configuration. But the funny thing that they said is most people, like 50% of people, are playing multi-class now. So this old style, even though they're kind of, this is the entry level and this is how they teach you to get into it, nobody plays like this anymore. So it's a little funny. It's a little like misleading.
Gee, it's almost like, never mind. I was going to say something, but it's almost like classes are kind of a bad design choice. It's not, right? It's a thing, but
right. Hey. So the manga artist Chomuran is the designer for this, who's done is popular, and people are, I guess, were excited about this development. And the characters are very Japanese, very Final Fantasy in their stylization and stuff. They don't look super wizards, it looks very
does it look Japanese like a shonen fantasy manga thing?
No, it's not that. It's not quite that. It's more, it's definitely shonen. Yeah.
Like aged down the main protagonist point it's just going to be like,
not too, there are some young girls. There are some of the female characters look a little young. No, you're right.
No,
yeah,
they're the ageless elves, right?
Yes. They're like 500
they're
12,
but are 500 years old. Yeah, sure. Right. Ask me how I feel about anime. All right.
But the interesting thing about this iconic party is they also have credited. So I went through that list of characters because they also credit voice actors. So they're going to do supporting materials and have gotten anime voice actors to voice these characters. And there's a on the official YouTube channel, there's a little character introduction of each of them, and you hear the character voices, and they kind of run through everything. So they're going pretty heavy into,
But that doesn't mean it's going to be an anime or animated. Because I think, like, we've talked before about here how, like, actual play transcripts are actually pretty popular. Like, there are, like, books.
Right, right.
Just, like, only books of, like, playthroughs. Mm-hmm. And I guess you learn how to play the game that way. But it's also, it's almost kind of like reading the script of, like, a radio play or something. Mm-hmm. So I have to imagine they're going to do something like that.
That probably, yeah, probably will be the thing. But I thought it was funny to they're trying to put, because I think people know a lot of these voice actors, so they're trying to put that at least voice in your head while if you're playing one of these pre-generated characters. Yeah.
Because I hate myself, I'm going to have to go look at
Yeah, so take a look at the official D&D YouTube for all of this. And of course, yeah, like Chris was saying, Call of Cthulhu takes the crown and is the leader by a lot. There's nothing really close. This is Wizards' additional efforts for Wizards to kind of get in. And I was reading a little bit about the history of localization in China.
Okay.
And it's been really spotty and irregular, but that seems like a market, if they do have any access to it, that they should try a little bit harder with. And especially if they're going to do this kind of approach, like theme it, because they could even, you know, if they've already licensed the stuff, they could even use a lot of the stuff that's developed for Japan. That probably would work well in China as well.
I guess
to just not make it look so, you know, Western.
I guess it's one of the obviously cost analysis stuff, right? Okay, mm-hmm. How much would it cost to repackage this, reskin it, kind of translate it, whatever,
right,
market it over there? And is that worth what we think we're going to get back?
Because it's surprisingly, people's hobbies and pastimes are hugely different. So there may be no tabletop scene
with the release of the movie, though.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if the movie's going to release in China. I don't know what the release date is here. I won't be seeing it in anyway. But like with the release of the movie,
mm-hmm.
and if it is being released in Japan and China, like that might be there. Okay, you've at least some people have now seen the movie.
Right.
Here's the thing that kind of inspired it, right?
Mm.
So
you mean Hasbro's Dungeons and Dragons?
Yes, Hasbro's Dungeons and Dragons. Yep.
Yeah. So I thought that was funny. Yeah, and thank you, Miguel, for pointing that out. That Watsi was making this effort to do a little bit more than just find and replace the text on a on these previous books
or run it through Google Translate.
Yes. Right. So Warhammer now has started an OnlyHands.
Okay.
Yeah, something I didn't
know. Sorry.
Started their OnlyHands. So this is something that a Warhammer creator coined a few months ago, but I thought it was pretty funny. They're really going out of their way to take all personalities and faces out of all of their content, because they've had three painting tutorial people and battle report people that they're shooting their faces.
Oh,
they're introduced by name. They're kind of using them as personalities
for
Warhammer. And these people have gotten frustrated with the company, left, and are now, doing YouTube channels with Patreons and probably getting paid much more than they were at Games Workshop.
Sorry, it took me a while
to
flip over. I thought you were talking about IP personalities.
Oh, yeah.
You're talking about actual
people, people, yeah. Actual kind of like, presenters, basically.
Yeah. Gotcha.
And a lot of these people have, like, worked their way up, because Games Workshop had such a feeble, presence on social media and for their content on streaming and video sites. So they really did a push for this. And a lot of these people rose up through, very low level stuff into management. And then their dream, I'm going to be a face. I'm going to be a personality representing the company. And it didn't last long because just couldn't. And I think also the limitations the company put on them, like what they needed to do.
Right.
And it just like, this is not fun. I mean, this is kind of my dream, but not this version.
Right.
So the latest person to leave has been Louise Sugden. Previously to that, Peachy, and of course the original defector that kind of, I think, started the ripple of things was Duncan Rhodes. Hmm. And Duncan Rhodes is he's got his own YouTube channel, his own paint line, and everything.
Is that Two Thin Coats?
Yes.
Yeah.
So he's really taken that momentum and left. And that's the thing. It's like if you're going to develop a personality and put faces to you take care of them. They're not just standard employees. As soon as they become a personality, it's like, is everything good? Do you need anything? I mean, because if they love the brand, it can't be that hard to keep them happy. It can't, you're not.
Apparently it is.
I know. It's amazing.
It is coming from someone who works at a company where, like, we rely on churn, right? Mm. Like the ESL kind of Kiowa school thing over here. So, like, it makes sense. Like, the number of instructors, right, who leave, and it's like, I can't blame you for leaving, right? Why are you leaving? Because you get treated like shit, right?
Right, right?
Sorry. So, like, you would think a large company, especially after, like, one person leaves, mm-hmm. right? You're kind of like, all right, let's look at this. And, well, I guess you have two choices, one of them being no personalities, which is the route that GW yes. apparently has taken.
Right, right.
Or it's, you know what, let's make sure we don't lose anymore.
Mm-hmm,
so,
mm-hmm.
But I suppose you can't lose people if you don't have them. So, yeah.
Yeah, so their introductory painting tutorials and things have gone from, you know, being introduced by Duncan to just hands painting and just a voiceover. So you're not seeing, you're hearing a voice, you're seeing hands, right. but they're not connecting that voice. And I don't think they're naming people, you know, right. they're, you're not introducing yourself anymore. So it's a shame. And it also follows through. So I wasn't familiar with Louise. I think a lot of her tutorials were kind of advanced stuff that was trapped behind the Warhammer Plus.
Okay.
And, but I did know, you know, I did see a lot of stuff, Duncan stuff on YouTube. And the other thing that they are doing on Warhammer Plus is all of the animation and everything is the story and writing is credited to Warhammer Story Forge. So no individual. Yeah, so they'll credit musicians and they'll credit the studio that did the animation, but there's no name for who wrote it. So they're really, it's just a weird thing because as you develop, like, people do identify, especially Black Library is a good example. There's Black Library authors that people love and the ones that people completely avoid. So you kind of want to develop that and not just have it this, okay, I don't know what the quality of this is going to be. I'm not sure if I'm going to like this, you know, storytelling, and just leave it this very generic, weird branding.
I agree with you, and it kind of sucks. But from, like, a business point, I'm not a business person at all, right? Produce or, like, written by Story Forge, whatever the fuck it is, right?
Right.
Like, you can't attach a name to that.
Mm-hmm.
So if it prevents consumers from going, you know what? I don't like that author.
Right.
So I'm not going to buy their stuff. It's, I like GW. Or, yeah, I want to see this right. world. I'm going to buy this. Oh, wow, that was crappy. But, like, you don't know who wrote it, right?
Right.
You don't know who wrote it when you say, wow, that was fantastic. I want to get another one. Wow, right, that sucked. Right. I want to avoid it. You don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You just kind of have to keep buying it and hope, right?
Yeah.
Or it's like a mixture of everybody. I have to think it also kind of prevents artists, and I'm including writers in that as well, from building a portfolio of work. Because, unless you have, like, internal stuff that can prove, like, oh, I helped write this thing.
Right, right.
Where's a name on it? Right.
Well, yeah, actually, I'm contributing to the Warhammer Story Forge. I mean, you didn't
know
that.
Too. But yeah,
most of
too.
Us are. Yeah. It's amazing. Yep. So
amazing, right? When you see the five check that came in from GW, right? That's why I'm allowed to move house, right? No. Okay. That was all not even remotely true, right?
So identity is becoming non-existent. It's kind of similar to what they wanted to do, the handle or the, you know, the kind of restriction they wanted to put on fan animation and stuff that was, you know, free on YouTube that was promoting their brand. They wanted to control that and they brought it in this behind this paywall, and now nobody even knows what's going on, you know, back there. So it's a weird, I mean, I guess from a corporate sense, it's that they want the most predictable thing, but now they're actually, you know, these people, and some, I think Peachy had been there for like 20 years.
Wow.
It was like,
wow.
He'd been there for a long time before leaving. And so all of them have really interesting stuff that they're doing. So Louise started Rogue Hobbies, which is her channel. And I didn't know much of her before, but she's got a really great personality. And her approach to the hobby is just making you love painting and making you love, like, coming up with your own, you know, your own chapters or your own, like,
there's,
you know, takes on.
There's the problem.
Yeah, yeah. And it's funny now because GW, they're going to benefit from it, but they're not going to support these people now. They're not going to send them, you know, free models or anything because they're, you know, defectors. And so it's, yeah, it's so bizarre.
Heretics, I think, is the word you're looking for.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Oh, that's right. Heretics. Yeah, so Louise said in an interview with Wargamer that my plan was to stay forever and to be in the room where it happened. I loved working for Games Workshop. Holy shit, I was terrified to start working there. So she started, like, very young and very unproven. So they took a chance on her, and she worked there for quite a while, 7 years. And she did book layout, photography, miniature painting, photographer, packaging design, illustrator, and then finally presenter. And so that was her dream job, but it had this, like, weird limitation. They only, you know, I guess they weren't letting them, I guess they went from somebody that was doing a lot of input to just, oh no, you're just the face now.
Yeah,
we'll tell you what to say. Yeah. We'll tell you what to do. Here's your schedule for recording. So yeah, that's pretty, pretty frustrating. So, one of the first, her story of leaving. So she was working with Chris Peachy Peach and one of the videographers that worked in the battle reports actually went over to a YouTuber's channel to become his videographer. So he left Games Workshop in May of 2020. And then Peachy left in September of 2022. And Peachy left in September 2022. So that was, following Duncan's successful
escape.
Yeah, there you go.
Or exit, rather. Than
yeah, right.
I suppose.
Yeah, right. So it's funny because these people still love the setting, they still love the game, but they just the company is just not. And I think that's probably
sure,
many things. I'm sure Disney and everything, you would not want to deal with those people, but you can enjoy their their content, right. or not.
Yeah.
So but it's nice though that something like this exists, that you can take your celebrity, the little bit of recognition that you've gotten and your attachment to the hobby, and then you can make it your own brand, start your own channel and actually do something with it. So these people are full time, are doing this work now full time on their own. And
tangentially, I might not have time for this conversation, but how do you feel about the other way? Right? Because, bring it back to TTRPGs. I got to admit, I'm a little bit salty when I see we don't have any critter fans. When I see Darrington Press putting out 2, 3, 4 new games, and I'm kind of you built your empire.
Mm-hmm.
But, and I'm not saying the presenters or players in APs can't also be designers, right? But it's kind of I certainly don't begrudge the amount of effort you have put into building your empire.
Uh-huh.
You are now using that to springboard and over here. And
yeah,
that's true. Someone who feels like a struggling designer, it's a bit. I try not to be too bitter, but I'm a bit
right. Well, it's like that with a lot of stuff is that you can have a huge effect on any industry you choose if you go into it with some following, with some celebrity, with being a known person. You can go into anything. That's why we have Mangan the Yellow, suddenly because he's such an established actor that now people are like, oh, he's playing our game, So it's very. Very strange, but that is very frustrating that celebrity sells so much, and that if you bring an audience with you, then you have people that are going to buy things. No, definitely. Oh yeah, a quick tangent. So I saw somebody doing some cover work, posting it on Instagram. So are there Brighthammer things happening?
I don't know. Hopefully, mm-hmm. I think what I'm thinking is I just like making stuff, and I just like making stuff. And I'll have to bring it next time. It was. My copy of Black Sword Hack, right, which kind of has this 70s retro aesthetic, and I went, that's pretty cool, and I just did Google for 1970s, typography's great, right?
Yeah.
And I just went, I have all these type packages, and let me dig up a 1970s color palette, and looks pretty cool. I'm gonna try and emulate this box, and I'm just all right, that looks pretty good, and now I think I'm gonna have to write it. That's what it is. That's how my ideas start. That looks pretty cool. What the fuck is it? I don't know. What's the inside look like? I don't know. I got to figure that out too. Hold on while I write it. Okay.
Yeah, that reminds me of when we started a band in fifth grade.
Oh, nice.
And so we came up with the name.
Yeah.
And before any guitar lessons or anything, I was doing the first album
cover. Of course. That's how it works. You're what are we going to wear? What's our album cover going to look like? What's our name? Cool. The music will come later.
Yeah, that's, that eventually. Yeah, we'll get there. But
we'll get there. Yeah.
It's a package, the image that we're most concerned about.
Exactly. Yeah. Same. Just not music. Yeah. Anyway.
So the Wargamer interview with Louise is really informative about what motivated this and how a lot of longtime people, and they're not hating on Games Workshop. It's just you just outgrow it, and you just you want to participate in the hobby, and you're just doing a job, So, so it's really good. And also, I would definitely recommend checking out the Rogue Hobbies is her YouTube channel, and Peachy moved to. It was collaborating with the painting phase, and he's got some really good stories about what it's like to be a manager at Games Workshop. What's happened, what kind of happened with Curse City and a couple of projects that really got fumbled. So there's some nice kind of insider fun hobby stuff that they discuss. So I would recommend checking up on all those people, especially if you enjoyed their content when they were at Games Workshop.
That's the thing too, I guess, right? I was a little bit salty, but if you enjoy someone because of what they do, follow them when they go somewhere else.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's true. Oh yeah, and the so Luisa's Patreon, this is I can't resist mentioning this. So her Rogue Hobbies channel has a Patreon, and she's designing miniatures. So oh, cool. One of a sculptor that she worked with, so she's doing STLs available on her Patreon, and she's obsessed with goblins. So she's doing goblin miniatures, and the one distinctive detail about the goblins that she creates, they all have John Lennon's ass.
So, okay.
Incredibly flat with a okay. high up butt crack from the album. I forget. Yeah, one of their We're So In Love albums right. that John and Yoko made. But I thought that was a funny detail that she specifically said, give my goblins John Lennon's ass. Right. It must be a British thing. Mm-hmm. Anyhow, moving on. So if you missed out on the Battletech Kickstarter, there's still some mech goodness Ooh, on okay. Kickstarter. So Heavy Gear, 4th edition. The role-playing game is now on Kickstarter with DreamPod 9. And DreamPod 9 is the original producer of the game. Hmm. So there was a funny thing that happened about 2008. Steve Jackson Games announced that they were going to enter into development for this 4th edition with DreamPod 9. Never got beyond the planning stages. And it took a couple of years before the rights reverted back.
I wonder why that happened.
Yeah. So, yeah, it just didn't go anywhere. Hmm. And but now it's back. So there is an actual 4th edition. And if you don't know Heavy Gear, so it's a mech sci-fi game originally from 1994, published by the Canadian publisher DreamPod 9. So tactical, the IP itself was a tactical war game, this role-playing game also, and then a combat card game. Oh, and wow. then okay. also Activision created two games for oh. it. So there are two PC games in this same setting. And Activision kind of did that because they lost the rights to Battletech.
Right, okay.
So they looked for the second best. And there's also a 40-episode 3D animated series from wow. 2001. Okay. Yeah. So it didn't work out with Steve Jackson Games, but now they've got it back in their own hands and they're doing it themselves. And right now, so what they have already accomplished is quite a weighty tome. They have a 480-page rule book that's ready to go. It's all laid out, but it's just missing artwork. So basically, okay. this Kickstarter is to pay for artwork, and they already have artists that they've been working with. Right. And it has that. It's very anime inspired, but it's not Japanese artists. Right. There's some, or maybe Japanese adjacent artists, but there's a lot of artists that imitated that kind of loving 90s, you know, Japanese mech look. So it has a really distinctive look and very, very anime. But the setting itself has a detailed history and everything. And already, first and second edition are available on DriveThruRPG, and they're going to make this as backward compatible as possible, including their revitalized versions that are available. So I guess kind of updated, maybe right. like cleaned up versions.
Yeah.
First and second that are on there. Oh, yeah, and sorry, and fourth edition will include a conversion system. Okay. So yeah, to make everything you may already have for this setting backwards compatible. Hmm. Yeah, so they're going to put a ton of art into it. And yeah, I think they said like over 100 pieces of art in addition to what they already had. So yeah, pretty impressive as far as, and so they want it to look as good as possible. And so the Kickstarter is for both of course, you can go PDF, but there's also a soft cover and hard cover of this 480-page rulebook. So tons of setting, the 62nd century. And so humanity makes the classic mistake of setting up colonies, and then the colonies say, F you, and then they come back and attack. Yeah. So yeah, we've heard this before, but they do it with mechs this time. Oh, wait, they always do it, with mechs.
Yeah.
But these new rules will have a detailed history of the world, a core game rules, character creation, and a massive library of gear, vehicles, and equipment. Hmm. So, if you want some mech goodness, this is a kind of a classic.
Yeah,
that's not Battletech. Right? Oh, sorry, Miguel, we didn't say that. We didn't say that. But there's still some mech gaming out there. And lastly, on Kickstarter, I wanted to mention, so Indestructoboy has been a great source through all this OGL nonsense and then all the way to the summit of talking about what's been going on. And his version of how he would want to play something, a D20 game, is now on Kickstarter. And it's an interesting Kickstarter. And I'll explain like what the kind of objective is. So Rebel Rouser Games was founded by any winning game designer, Taron Indestructoboy Pounds. And he's designing Vagabond. So Vagabond is a lean and mean tabletop role-playing game, laser-focused on practical play with modern TTRPG feel.
Okay.
So the inspiration of medieval romance, dungeon synth, and a litany of dungeon crawlers were all kind of baked into this. And so this is kind of the best of, and the really good thing about this is he's been developing this for a long time now and does the design sessions as live streams.
Oh,
so you
okay.
can just watch for hours him kind of go back and forth with things and getting kind of feedback from people in the chat and just talking about his process and kind of philosophy of doing this. And I even saw him take a look at the Dragonbane, the Free League's new rule set, and just kind of figure, oh, I really like how they did this and I'm not a fan of this. And so it's really great to see his process and him thinking through, you know, what kind of game he wants to play.
So actually intentional design.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And it, so it's
as opposed to crowdsourced.
Right. So it's really interesting. And I enjoy the, I enjoy that whole process. So his channel is really, really fun in that way, because all of his, I think both on Twitch and YouTube, all his development sessions are right out there for you to see. So this Kickstarter will be the first of two. Mm-hmm. So this is kind of the in development system, and there's a preview available right now from the Kickstarter page. And the Arbiter, which is the game master in Vagabond, their role is to focus mainly on the creative elements of running the game and take away a lot of the mechanics and kind of pre all the advance work, all the pre-planning and stuff that you have to do. So enemies basically have a kind of an AI, so you can kind of unleash an encounter on some players and sit back, and you can, you know, kind of step in and take control of things, but kind of let them solve, you know, that combat. So to have it kind of be quick, quick and brutal, using stat blocks and kind of an AI controller. So there's a good explanation of that. And it's, so it's a 2D roll high system, accuracy test, defense test, skill test, and also a luck system.
Okay.
16 classes: alchemist, bard, barbarian, cleric, dancer, druid, exemplar, fighter, gunslinger, hunter, pugilist, rogue, sorcerer, vanguard, witch, and wizard. And already some classes have been posted. His work has been that he did for 5e. So you can see examples of like what he thinks of classes through 5e examples on his page. And then 21 lineages. So all the standards. I won't read through the whole list, all the standards, but a lot of interesting, you know, centaurs and harpies and things that you wouldn't consider. So kind of it gets a little
weird,
crazy, a little weird gonzo in the way that you can make characters. So not specifically what you know what you would picture for fantasy. So it looks really fun. So this initial Kickstarter is basically to just let him finish the design and get the rules done. So what you're basically paying for is to focus on this design, and you're going to get access to the PDF that's going to be constantly updated, going to be adding art to it. So it's the Kickstarter is paying for finishing this PDF, and then a following Kickstarter will go to pay for the printing of the actual book.
Okay.
So it could, you know, if this funds and everyone is, you know, happy with it, or it just something happens, you know, so it doesn't get beyond this phase, there it will exist as a game. Like the game will exist, and then it'll be that second stage where two hardcover 6x9 kind of trade size volume hardcovers will be produced with all original work in them. And so yeah, that the PDF will just keep updating, and you know, art will be popping into it, and new and kind of finished rules and everything. Okay. So I thought it was an interesting process. So basically what he's saying is this is a sponsorship from the Kickstarter going towards the writing and development of the system. And the majority of the core is complete, and just want to spend time continuing to add more content. So all of the funds will go towards the development, and as well as towards the art commissioning and legal consultation, because the other thing that he wants to do is an open game, his own open game license for this system. Okay. So yeah, I thought it was great. And he's right out there with how, you know, he's working on this. You can watch the development sessions and you know, have some interaction with the designer. So I thought that was really, yeah, really a nice approach and really fun guy. I mean, if you're just interested in game design and you know, fantasy RPGs, I think his channel is awesome. So that's Indestructo Boy on Kickstarter.
Nice.
And Vagabond on Kickstarter. Vagabond on Kickstarter, Indestructo Boy on YouTube and Twitch. Thank you. Now I got it. All right, so that's it for this week.
Oh, yeah.
But a little preview for next week.
Okay.
The Gaslands creator is doing a rank and flank fantasy combat game called Hobgoblins. Hobgoblin, singular. Hobgoblin. So kind of
it's not going to be much of a rank and flank game with only one character.
It's only
Hobgoblin.
Hobgoblin on Hobgoblin. So it's interesting. There's no wounds. So we'll talk about it. It's very, it's just, the objective is to just units flee. They don't die.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. So it's interesting. Yeah, I like the approach, and we'll talk about that next week. And so that Kickstarter just launched. So
There's still lots of time.
Yeah, lots of time, and we'll hit that in a little bit.
Hit that Hobgoblin. Yeah.
Get on Vagabond and Heavy Gear if you're interested, because those are well underway.
Oh, cool.
All right. So that's it for this week. Where can people find you?
On Twitter, until Apartheid Clyde sends that thing down in flames. Or Instagram.
Can you give me one example? Give me one example.
I don't know, Jeremy. Like, aliens don't exist.
Oh, right.
Right? Aliens don't exist, because if there's one guy on the planet,
oh, my God. Right, right.
Cringe. Just, like, sorry. No, I'm not going to rant about it. Anyway, so, Instagram.
Yes.
Hivemind, HYVEMYND, where, I put up those cover designs.
Nice. And they look nice. They look very nice.
I tend to go over heavy on weathering effects, which maybe I got to dial it back. So, how about you?
So, I'm still doing my single panel gag cartoon, abuse cartoons on YouTube and Twitch. And the archive of that is gocomics.com/domesticabuse.
20 years.
20 years. Yeah, I draw two. Not for 20 years, but about 5 years. I've been drawing two comics a week on a live stream. So I'll eat some stuff from a convenience store. We'll talk about nonsense. We'll go back through the archive and look at old criticisms. There's been some really good. Lame was one of my favorite comments from last week. Just lame.
That was... The way you said it, like, it had to be written in all caps.
Right. It was nice. So yeah, I really enjoy the abuse. So domestic abuse gets abused on gocomics.com. And and if you like what we're doing here with Upturned Table, visit upturntable.com and The Weekly.
Yeah, The Strongest of All. No, The Weekly.
Weekly.
You've got to become The Weakling.
Ling, yes, yes. Yeah. So the Patreon, the Patreon level Weakling.
Which is the strongest of all supporters. There you go.
To support The Weekly, which is this thing that you're watching. Yeah. And the podcast that every week we do topics in tabletop. And if you'd like to, if you become a Weakling, feel free to tell us what you want to see more of. And also, so people like Miguel and Matt give us some great great tips and things that they're interested in.
Thank
that
you.
They see pop up in the news. So it's always always fun to go through. And then after the end of this podcast, we take a look at the chat and we kind of interact with the patrons and members.
I wish I could do that instead of going back to work.
Yeah, sorry. And so that's added. So the RSS of this will be available for the patrons on Patreon, just to listen to the audio of it every week. And and you can also watch this live stream.
Yeah, nice.
So that's it for this week. We'll be back next week.
Later, mortals.
Goodbye.